And I guess to kind of start off with, I'm kind of interested, Jillian, you've worked with an old folks home people that were getting ready for an event, and a group of inmates getting ready for a Shakespeare play. And now you head to Santa Fe and you deal with this group of intriguing artists. Do you love ensembles that come together? I mean, this is really fascinating so far.
Yeah, you know, I think it's about the creative process and what that affords people in terms of personal growth and life lessons and, like, a look into our deeper humanity, self-expression, you know. So for me, like, the thing that ties those three projects together is creativity, and how that really helps us cope and learn and develop and celebrate, you know, our lives, I guess.
So before we jump into the movie, I'd love to hear how you two guys met and your creative connection.
Well, so I started on the project. I was actually, I started out as a volunteer at Meow Wolf while they were building the House of Eternal Return, working on another film, but I started to pick up a camera and document behind the scenes. And then after Meow Wolf became really successful, you know, there was an opportunity to do something with this material. And so our amazing producer, Alexandra Renzo, brought in Jillian as a story consultant, and we just kind of immediately clicked. And our what started as a story consultant ended up in a beautiful directing partnership, along with our editor, Alessandra Dobrin-Colsa, who Jillian brought in as our editor. We together as a team kind of just formed into one during that time.
As far as then getting in with the interviews of the different members, who were kind of the first members that were first on board with bringing this to a film platform rather than just obviously what you guys do as artists? But I'm curious, like, what were the interviews? How did you guys work from Vince or Emily or Matt or all those wonderful people?
I think Vince was the biggest proponent of the doc to start. And he was the one who kind of, I think, convinced the others that this was a good idea. And then luckily, you know, we had, you know, established relationships with these people. And it sort of helped the balance between myself and Jillian during the interviews, because I was there during the House of Eternal Return, but Jillian, you know, has this outside perspective as well, so it balanced the nature of what we were able to explore as a team versus sort of, you know, going through the long process of creating those relationships.
I think people, too, the founders who end up being in the film the most, who we follow as our main characters, were actually really surprisingly satisfying to them to, like, have a chance to look back and process what they'd just been through, because this is an extraordinarily unusual trajectory for anyone, you know, especially for an artist, and especially doing it together with a bunch of people. So, you know, although sometimes they were a little shy or a little tiny bit reluctant, I felt like once we turned the camera on and started asking questions, like, they all really enjoyed the process. So that was an interesting thing.
You know, when watching
therapy session.
Yeah, we were their therapists.
Well, speaking of that therapy session, I sat down to watch the film and I expected a very artistic look, but I was really blown away by David's story and the loss of David. How cathartic was the experience of letting the other members of Meow Wolf talk about David? I thought it was some of the best moments of the film were them remembering their friend and what he'd brought to the group.
Yeah, I for us, it was such an honor to be able to look at this person who none of us had gotten to meet and really see what a beautiful person he was in the world and how his involvement really impacted and shifted the group in a huge way. And we felt a huge amount of responsibility to that story and to him in this because, you know, everybody, you can't help but not, you know, just love him and feel his presence. So it was really important to us to dive into who he was and then, you know, through those interviews and through talking to lots of people, try to find a way to, you know, highlight his significance to this whole thing.
Yeah, and that was really great because obviously since he's not with us anymore, he doesn't get any of the credit in real time, but it was such an important part of their story, like his contribution, that we're really glad that that can now be, you know, sort of a documented part of their history.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny, I mean, he was the one who a long time before had said, guys, let's reach out to George R. R. Martin, he lives in town. You know, that was initially a thought from David, and so the fact that that actually came to be, I think, says a lot.
It's got to be kind of surreal to have George R. R. Martin there and to embrace this, but also to embrace, I think, the future of the group. What were y'all's take from just the whole experience of George being a part of this group?
Well, it's like George, you know, David is the guardian angel who left this earth and sort of, you know, helps them from another plane. And George is like their godfather on this plane, you know, and he continues to support them and to be an investor. And they're working on, you know, they'll probably collaborate again in the future in some way. And to everybody here, he's just George. He's like not this, you know, insanely mythological character. He's really just so down to earth. And I don't ever think of him as anything but his like funny self, you know. And I think it's that way for everybody.
Totally. We had so much fun interviewing him. We got to sit with him for an hour and a half. And it was just so, like, neat to just be sitting and having a conversation in his theater and, like, you know, to feel his significance, his impact on our culture and how he's continuing to do that in a variety of ways is really a comforting in a way, you know. And so that was a really neat element to get to work with. I mean, yeah, he like he shops at Trader Joe's. He is the sort of like, you know, guy around town.
So cool. I've got to ask, when did the animation become part of the film? And I especially love like when Benji's explaining what Meow Wolf is. He creates it as this or treats it as this like mythological beast, and then we see it through the animation. Tell me a bit about working with that side of things. That was so cool to see you give a visual representation of Meow Wolf.
We knew pretty early on in the process that we were going to want to use animation in a variety of ways in the film because, you know, as much as it seems like we had all of this amazing archival footage, we used about every stitch of it. And so we wanted to kind of take the visuals beyond this like immediate place and started to work on with Brad Wolfley, our lead animator, early on animating scenes as we were writing them. And so we were really lucky to have him be a consistent part of our team, be willing to just try anything where we say, oh, we want to scrap that scene, but here's a totally new one we want to animate. What do you think? And he was just down to try it. And I think, Joanne, you've spoken often about this too, about animation and what this film, you know, needed to be in terms of animation.
Right. I had muted myself. We felt that the style of the film aesthetically really needed to be maximalist to best reflect, you know, Meow Wolf. And so it felt like every kind of shade that we could put in there would be beneficial, you know, without making it incomprehensible. But that was really intentional. It was like, okay, how many different, three different ways can we visualize things instead of just, you know, interview talking heads? Obviously, you want to go way beyond that. But and there simply were things that we just didn't have footage for, too. You know, it was like, oh, we will have to animate that because we have nothing.
What was y'all's favorite part of the house itself? Like, just being in the space? Like, what did you gravitate towards?
Joanne, I'll let you go first, because I was in the bowling alley, like, before they started to build it, and so I was seeing the process, seeing it unfold. I feel like I have a different perspective on the wonder in a way, but I mean, it still blows me away. But I'm curious to hear what Joanne has to say.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing is going through the fireplace into the cave, because it's that first moment where you know, I didn't get to the kitchen even. The fireplace was the first portal that I found. And then going into that incredible pink, purple light, you know, it's just like an environment I've never even been close to being in before. And then having it be interactive, and it was really cool.
And what about you, Morgan?
You're going to make me pick. I'm reading through my brain. Okay, I'm going to say, for me, there's so many little places I love in the house, little nooks and crannies. I mean, the laser harp room is really stunning to me. That's the room where you see you can play music from lasers, and there are these projections, and it's dark, and there's this amazing sound design. And I think in a lot of ways that room was actually, is in a way, dedicated to David and kind of his presence and impact. That
I never knew that.
Yeah, so this track that plays in there is like for David or something like that. That place takes me somewhere else. And then I really love the little nooks and crannies as well. Like in the children's bedroom upstairs in the house, and you go into the closet, there's this, like, you know, little world in the closet that leads into the cave. And it's just this great little moment where all of everything is connecting here and there. And yeah, I just love it.
Speaking of sound design and music, can y'all tell me what about y'all's working with Ben and cultivating the sound of the film? Because I wish I'd sadly been able to see this in a theater, because I think it would have been a whole different experience. I was so wanting to catch y'all when y'all brought the film to Oak Cliff Film Festival.
Oh, yes, we loved Oak Cliff.
I sadly missed that screening, but those guys do such a great job, and it's in such a fun theater, the Texas Theater. But can y'all tell me what about the sound design behind the film and what it adds to the whole dynamic of what we're getting to see visually?
Sure. Well, I think we really have to start with the soundtrack, which is really was a wonderful collaboration between Morgan, Ben Wright, who is a Meow Wolf musician and artist, and our music supervisor, Lauren Mikus. And Morgan is really the architect of our soundtrack. It's such the lifeblood of the film. And then the sound design was very collaborative. You know, it, again, was sort of the idea of having it be maximalist, but in the end, we toned it back from that a little bit because it was taking too much center stage. But yeah, you know, sound was just one of those additional dimensions that we wanted to use as we made this really sort of a formidable, you know, piece of cinema. Or we were trying to, anyway.
And it was a long process of discovery in that way, too, you know. We, at first, were working exclusively with Meow Wolf musicians and artists, and then decided that to really be able to capture, kind of, in a way, even the time period and timeline and mood that we wanted to, or I wanted to really it should be fun while you're experiencing it, that there's this energy that kind of charges through the film, good or bad energy, that I feel like, you know, we were able to really elevate the scenes where we're going with, we're making lots of cuts, and it's exciting, but it can ground an emotion, a feeling, with the song that sort of, you know, complements or elevates what you're seeing and what people are saying.
How much footage and archival footage and working in the edit with Alexandra, how much time did you guys have to spend in that post-production side of it?
Well, it's Alessandra. It's funny, we have Alexandra, our producer, and Alessandra, our editor. And we edited the film completely in her home office. And there were, you know, just, we don't even know how many hours. We need to figure out how to calculate it. But, you know, interviews from over the years, and then the archival footage, that was quite an adventure, because there wasn't a lot to begin with, and it took, you know, knocking down people's doors, bugging them for clips. I mean, you know, Joanne has said it best before. We got, you know, we still get people coming up to us and saying, oh, I have footage of that.
Yeah, funny enough, we showed the film at the Santa Fe Film Festival a couple weeks ago, the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival. And, you know, when the House of Return opens in the film, you know, we have, like, the opening night segment sequence. But that was really, like, footage that we had to kind of cobble together that wasn't actually from opening night, but that's, you know, what you do in editing, right? You want to give people the feeling of what that was. And so we totally fudged that part, but someone came up to us at the film festival and said, you know, I have footage of Meow Wolf's opening night. We were like, what? We looked everywhere for that footage. No one had it. Nobody had it. And so it was kind of funny. Painful answer.
Yeah, I think Alessandra added, like, totaled it up, and she was like, we spent, I think, over 5,000 hours together in the edit room. So we worked at a really intense kind of pace to bring this thing together, because it's changing so much every day. And so we were just pushing to get this story out there, you know, and keep documenting this next cycle that they're entering.
Well, I love the pacing of it, and so it flows beautifully. So great job for all those hours.
Oh, thank you so much. And again, Alessandra Kalsa, our editor, Dobrin Kalsa, was just, you know, the three of us were really, you know, together to build that. So it was, I want to credit her as well for what, you know, came together with the flow and all of that stuff.
So I get to go to a lot of unique festivals, but I love the festival run that you guys have had with this film, from obviously Santa Fe, I think, being, you know, close to home for a lot of the folks in Meow Wolf, but starting at South By, which I think the Austin audience is, if there's an audience that needs to see it, it's South By folks. Taking it to Oak Cliff, which is very similar kind of, for us Dallasites, I think Oak Cliff's kind of the avant-garde folks. And then you guys are about to be in Denver, which is also another hip place. How much fun has the festival circuit been for you guys?
Oh, it's been so awesome.
Much fun.
Yeah. great audiences.
Yeah.
Really,
it's
really
so fun. Energizing being at the screenings with the audiences at festivals, because you know, you get to feel their immediate reaction and, you know, speak to them and to that. And, you know, it makes it all feel like, okay, this, all this hard work, you know, it was for, the story is a universal story and so it's for everyone. So to see people connecting to that, I think is, you know, as a filmmaker, the most you could ask for.
What does it mean to have an evening like November 29th going to be showcased everywhere? That's got to be something special. I mean, I love how Fathom makes these things into like really huge events. I think it's really special.
Yeah, it's great for documentary. I think it's like the perfect way to release a doc. I mean, I've never done it before, so we'll see what I think afterwards. But, you know, it's challenging to get people to go to theaters. It's challenging to get them to go to documentaries in particular. So making this sort of like a really special, high-impact moment, I think is a really cool way to go.
I still kind of, like, can't believe it. It's sort of mind-boggling to me still. We had an amazing producer of marketing distribution, Mia Bruno, who was very, you know, she was ambitious about this project for us and because she loved it. And just a further example of really great collaboration was, you know, our relationship with Mia.
Ladies, I've really enjoyed the time. I was blown away by the movie. I'd love to know, obviously you guys are in the throes of it in this month in particular, but have you thought about what's next, or is there anything you can share with what you have down the pipeline for you guys?
Well,
We're definitely working on stuff, our next things. I know Joanne and I are interested in, you know, more continuing long-form documentation and, you know, sort of episodic storytelling. And not necessarily to do with Meow Wolf, though, of course, that's, we're still following that story. But, yeah, we're kind of developing a few things, so keep your eyes peeled.
Well, definitely will, and I know you guys brought the film to Oak Cliff. I hope you will always bring your films either to Oak Cliff or Dallas, and thank you so much for the time.
Thank you. And I just want to say again, going to Oak Cliff was probably one of my favorite festival experiences ever. That is an amazing, amazing festival, and the people who run it are just wonderful. So we love Dallas.
Awesome. Thank you, ladies. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks.
Okay, you too. Bye.